All right, it's a Thursday edition of the Morning Pit here on YouTube.com/PantheLetterCom. Normally I say something like, well, we made it to this point in the week. We made it here. We made it here. We made it through last night's game. Because what a game it was in Chapel Hill. Pitt beats North Carolina 65-64 in a game that came down to the very end. Pitt scores the final go-ahead points, or scores go-ahead points for the final time with 3.4 seconds left to go. And we got a lot to say about this game, just like we had a lot to say during the post-game show last night. Hopefully you tuned in for that. It was a lot of fun. A lot of people had a lot of things to say. I certainly had a lot of things to say. But here we are. It's Thursday morning. We're going to talk about the game a little bit more right here on the Morning Pit on YouTube.com/PantheLetterCom. Make sure you like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe button is right down there. If you click that and turn on the notifications, if you had notifications turned on last night, you'd have known exactly when we went live to talk about this one on YouTube.com/PantheLetterCom. Computer's giving me a little bit of a lag here. I apologize if that's coming through on the video. Hopefully it's not. There's a lot that stands out from this game. There's a lot that stood out in that win last night. There was a lot, obviously individual performance, comebacks, slumps, shooting slumps, and then, kind of bouncing back from shooting slumps and shooting their way out of it. Nelly Cummings was great. Jamarius Burton played a great game. Nike Sabandi made some huge plays. Federico was awesome defensively and made some key baskets as well. You got a lot of big-time individual performances. You had some big stretches for this team. And we'll talk about all those things. But the thing that stands out to me the most from last night's game, the thing that I just kept thinking throughout the game, I thought this in the first half. It was really jumping out to me in the first half. And then the way this team held on at the end to win the game, it really stood out to me as well. And it's this. Last night, Pitt went to Chapel Hill to face one of the ACC's Blue Bloods. Head-to-head, toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose, mano-a-mano, whatever you want to call it. And they looked, without question, like they belonged. Like they belonged to be right there with one of the programs that's the storied programs in the ACC. Now, this is nothing new. Pitt has won, the last couple of games in Chapel Hill. They beat North Carolina earlier this season. They beat Virginia earlier this season. This is not some new revelation that, oh, they look like they belong. But there was something about watching that game last night where there were distinct and clear stretches where not only was Pitt the better team, not only did Pitt have a lead, not only was Pitt playing better at this point or that point, but they actually looked like they were the intimidating team. They were the team that was putting the pressure on Carolina. Carolina was the team that was struggling. Carolina was the team that was pressing, particularly through the first half. It really struck me, even when Carolina was winning, even then, they were taking bad shots. They were forcing up shots. They couldn't really get any good looks against Pitt's defense. Meanwhile, at the other end, Pitt was getting good shot after good shot after good shot. They weren't making all of them, and that's a big part of the reason why Carolina took the lead they took in the first half. While Carolina was making some ridiculously long three-pointers, which I thought at the time watching it was not sustainable, and that ultimately ended up being the case. Bring up their second half stats just to make sure. Carolina went 1 of 14 from 3 in the second half, 4 of 13 in the first half, 1 of 14 in the second half, because the shots they were making, they weren't going to keep making. But they were pressing, they were taking bad shots, they just happened to be making them, and that gave them a lead. But Pitt was the team that looked to be in control. Pitt was the team that looked to be intimidating rather than intimidated. And I'm not necessarily saying that Carolina looked like they were intimidated by Pitt. But they certainly looked to be the team that was pressing, looked the team that was feeling the pressure, and looked to be the team that was getting pushed around a little bit. And that comes from a lot of places. It comes from the way Nelly Cummings was playing. It comes from the impact Jamarius Burton had on the game. Even if he didn't score a ton in the first half, he still had a huge impact on the game with how he was forcing Carolina to defend him. And I shouldn't say if nothing else, one of the primary things I think that really stood out was how Federico defended against Armando Bacot. Now, Bacot still got his. Bacot finished with What did he have? 15 points and 11 rebounds. Another double-double. Said it all week. Said Bacot's going to get a double-double. You can book it, lock it, write it down. He's going to have a double-double. But that 15 and 11, I wonder how many times he's had to work as hard as he worked for a double-double as he did last night. 3 of 10 from the field. He only made 3 baskets. He got 9 of his points from the free throw line, shot 9 of 15 from the line, and he got his 11 rebounds, 5 on offense, 6 on defense. But as you watch possession after possession, and some of the guys on the ACC network were talking about the fact that he had the fourth most shots on the team. Bacot's got to get more shots than that. He's got to get more shots than that. There was a quote I wrote down from Dan Bonner on the call with about 6:09, I think it was, in the first half. And said, I think the Tar Heels have to play through Bacot. They wanted to play through Bacot. I mean, if you watch what they were doing, they were trying to get the ball to him. But he wasn't able to get his shots off. He wasn't able to get in position. He wasn't able to do the things he wanted to do. Now, he had possessions where he won. He had possessions where he beat Federico. He certainly had possessions where he beat Guillermo Diaz-Grant. But he wasn't able to operate with the same comfort level that he often does. Federico was more than up to the task of defending that guy. And giving up 15 points, you say, oh, well, how good a job did you do? You gave up 15 and 11 to him, which is true. But he only made 3 baskets. You know, if he has to go to the line and shoot 15 free throws, if he scores 15 points, but 9 of them come from the line, and he only goes 3 of 10 from the floor, he did a pretty good job defending him. And then on the flip side, when Federico on, you know, for Pitt, get his stat line, 8 points and only 4 rebounds, and you knew he was going to give up. Bacot's a rebounding machine. You knew that Federico was going to get out-rebounded by Armando Bacot. But to get 8 points on 4 or 5 shooting from the floor? Huge. You know, that's 8 points more than I would have expected him to get in this game. You know, I would have expected Bacot to go for 20 and 10, 20 and 15, something like that, and a far more efficient stat line than 3 of 10. But when he got the ball, and I think it was almost, I almost think it was shocking to Bacot early on in this game. It was shocking to me, and it was probably shocking to you, how well Federico defended him right off the bat. And I think that was a shock to the system for Bacot, and by extension, a shock to the system for North Carolina. And I think it set the tone. I think Federico's work against Armando Bacot set the tone for Pitt in that game last night. And then it branched out from there. Nelly Cummings against RJ Davis. I mean, Cummings had a great game. It was his final stat line. I'll bring that up. 8 of 11 from the floor, 5 of 6 from 3, 21 points. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 turnovers, 1 steal. But the scoring, the shot making, and just the swagger. You know what I mean? I don't give a damn if you're North Carolina. I don't care if you're RJ Davis. I'm Nelly Cummings. You know what I mean? I'm not going to back down from you. And I don't think, you know, all these guys have pride. They're not going to back down from anybody. But to go and mix it up with RJ Davis the way Nelly Cummings did, and say, no, you're not going to push me around. First of all, I'm like 5 years older than you. I'm an adult. You're a child. You're not going to push me around. You're not going to get away with any of that stuff. And actually, I'm going to mix it up with you, even to the point of us getting double technicals. Even to the point of, when was the, with about 13 minutes to go, in the second half, when the refs pulled both teams together and said, guys, you have to stop this. You know, the refs doing that, to me, stemmed from, obviously, emotions bubbling up, frustration boiling over. And I think that ultimately came from Pitt getting under Carolina's skin. And for all the talk we had last week about the 2002-2003 team, we all talked about, you know, the 20-year anniversary of that team, and we talked about how that team played and what they did and all that stuff. One thing all of those Ben Hallen and Jamie Dixon teams were good at is getting under your skin, because they were just a giant pain in the rear end defensively. They just made life so difficult for you, and they're so frustrating and so physical, annoyingly physical. And they rattled teams. Now, I don't know if you would say North Carolina got rattled in this game, but when you see the way RJ Davis was carrying on, you know what I mean? When you see the guys that they got into foul trouble, and when things kept getting, you know, they kept mixing it up with some of the physicality, think they were a little bit rattled. I think they were. And that's a credit to Pitt and the energy Pitt played with in this game and the approach Pitt had to this game, the mindset Pitt had coming into this game and the confidence that they had coming into this game, which only is going to grow from here. And obviously they're going to have to build on this and they're going to have to, you know, they can't get ahead of themselves. They have to keep, you know, they have to approach every game with the energy they had in this one. But they went into Chapel Hill against, you know, arguably, I mean, one of the two most storied venues in this conference and in college basketball, to face one of the two most storied teams in this conference and in college basketball, and basically stuck their middle finger up at them and said, right here, buddy, here we are. And it wasn't always a sure thing. It's not like they dominated the game, but I did feel like they were sort of the, I don't know what the right word for it is, the more powerful team, the team that, I mean, somewhat controlled the game. And it was individual performances. It was team performances. You got to, I mean, if you're giving out the stars for the night, I mean, I want to give Federico as much credit as I can, but that guy right there who just popped up on screen, Nelly Cummings, had an awesome game. And he was great in the first half. And then in the second half, Pitt actually went 5+ minutes where they only made like 2 field goals. They made his shot. Federico hit a basket with 18:06 to go in the second half. It made the score 38-33. At the 14:49 mark, Jamarius Burton made a basket. And they didn't make another one until about 12:30. Okay, and by that point, 38-33 lead had turned into a 46-40 deficit. They're down 6. And you know what happened after this. Nelly Cummings 3. Some great Federico defense on Armando Bacot. Nelly Cummings 3. And then that made it 49-46. Carolina makes a basket, and then Nelly Cummings does a beautiful bounce pass to Federico, who finishes. And then Jamarius Burton hits a jump shot, forcing Carolina to call a timeout. Out of the timeout, he hits another jump shot, and it's a 7-point game. Nelly Cummings was the spark plug tonight. I mean, Nelly Cummings was the guy who, he put the battery in everyone's back, and he did it with his shooting, he did it with his passing, he did it with his defense, he did it with the way he attacked R.J. Davis, the way he played against R.J. Davis, and he fouled out in this game. But even that, I think, fired up his teammates. And I'll tell you, and I wrote it down. I don't know if you can see. There's a lot of scribbled notes on here. But I don't know if you can see what it says right there. Can you read those words? It says, Burton jump around. 23.7 seconds left. They come out of the timeout. This was a great stretch, actually. So, Bacot makes 2 free throws with 1:07 left to make it a 64-63 game. He gets an offensive rebound and then, amazingly, gets an offensive rebound from behind Federico and does it without fouling. I mean, the guy's a magician to just pull that off without any contact. But he gets that. Blake Hinson fouls him. He scores 2 free throws to go 64-63. Down at the other end, Blake Hinson has just a bad drive to the basket. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Carolina gets the ball, calls the timeout. They work it inside to Armando Bacot. Federico is obviously defending. Hinson comes down for a double team, and they force Bacot, who just has a brain fart, and travels. Pickets the ball, brings it back up, calls a timeout with 23.7 seconds, right? It's a 1-point game. Pitt's down 1, 23.7 seconds on the clock. They come back onto the court, and Carolina's playing jump around. And they put the camera on Burton, and he's into it. And this is the stoic Jamarius Burton. I mean, this guy does not show. I mean, he gets fired up about foul calls and things like that. But, I mean, when you watch interviews with him and generally his demeanor on the court, he's very stoic. He holds it together. He doesn't really get too fired up. But he was getting down to jump around. He was singing along with jump around. He knew the ball was in his hands. He knew he was getting the ball. He knew it was coming to him, and he knew it was on him to win the game. And I bet if you asked him, he knew he was going to win the game. And I wrote it down because I saw it happen, and I said, I wonder if I'm going to remember that Jamarius Burton was singing along to jump around. And he was, and you know what happened after that. Burton gets the ball inbound, holds the ball. just stands there, runs the clock down, gets it under 10 seconds. Dan Bonner was surprised. I wasn't. This is not a team that hunts, I shouldn't say that. This is not a team that tries to get that quick shot at the end of the half. That's just not what they do. They usually stand around for 15 seconds, or in this case, about 14, 15 seconds, and then they dribble around and hope something good happens. Well, in this case, something good did happen. Jamarius Burton got fouled, went to the free throw line, drained both free throws, and Carolina got the ball, 3.4 seconds. They bring it up over half court, 0.6 seconds, call a timeout, get one last shot. Nike Samandy blocks it. Carolina fans felt like Samandy fouled. Who was it? Caleb Love? But, I mean, come on, man. Think about where you are right now. You're in Chapel Hill. If he had fouled Caleb Love, if he was even close to something, constituting a real foul, that whistle would have blown so fast that it might have exploded. But he didn't foul him. Pitt won the game. 16-7 overall, 9-3 in the ACC. This Pitt team just keeps finding ways to win. And this game, I talked about that earlier this week, the finding ways to win topic. I talked about it on Monday, about how, whether it's scoring a school record threes or an 11-0 run to end the game, whatever it is, they just keep finding ways to win. But tonight wasn't necessarily finding, obviously they found a way to win because they won the game, but this was just a game where they just played a talented opponent, went toe-to-toe for them, took some blows, had some rough stretches. At the end, they made Federico made a basket, an up and under basket, with 3:28 to go, and Pitt didn't score another field goal after that. They didn't score a field goal in the final 3.5 minutes of the game. And so even then, it's not like, wow, they found a way to win. They just made a couple key plays and won a game, like a good team does. Because guess what? Everybody, here, we'll get real close on this one. They're a good team. 23 games, I think we can say it. They're a good team. They've got shooters. They've got veteran guards. They've got a developing center who's getting better and better defensively. And when he's not playing against a double-double machine, he's not a half-bad rebounder either. They're a good team. They just went on the road in hallowed grounds. Tough place to play, even though they've won there before. And looked like the better team. The better guards. Not the Carolina doesn't have good players. They looked like the better team. Because they're a good team. Pretty good win for Pitt last night. Pretty good win. A great basketball game. I think if you enjoy college basketball, I don't know how you could not enjoy that game. I thought it was a really good one. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch. So let's move on. Obviously, we'll have the post-game show. You can listen to that again later today for more talk about Pitt's win at Carolina. Panthers move on. Panthers move on. We'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow as we talk more Pitt hoops, talk more Pitt football, basketball, recruiting. Make sure you stay tuned to PantherLair.com for everything you need to know about Pitt sports. Like I say, Panther-Lair.com. Like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel. As we always ask, we appreciate it. And thanks for tuning in. It was a fun post-game show last night. Thanks, everybody who joined. And, it's been a good start to the week, right? It's already Thursday. We're almost to the weekend. So thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great Thursday. We will talk to you tomorrow for the Morning Pit right here on YouTube.com/PantherLaircom.